Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And here we are, we're wrapping up January, almost.
Yep.
We have one more show.
One more show in there. We got to start off the show on a sad note.
What happened?
You're not going to believe this. You remember the winner for the 2017 DH Closest to the Pin Cup, PJ Lehane?
I don't remember specifically, but yeah, what about him?
He passed away.
He did?
Yeah, January 6th. He was 33 years old.
What happened?
I don't know. It was a sudden. I just got an email just not too long ago from somebody in his family. And they said that he passed away unexpectedly. And, you know, I didn't know who this person was. So I went and I looked up the obituary to make sure I wasn't, you know. So I looked it up. He was actually in Ireland. I knew that. Actually, he was from the city or the township of Limerick, which they thought was very funny. He just died unexpectedly.
Well, that's sad.
Terrible.
Sorry to hear that.
Yeah. So our best wishes go out to his family and friends and everybody that knew him. So moving along, let's do a market update real quick. We had a government shutdown. How'd you enjoy that?
It was over a weekend that they don't work anyway, so I don't see what the big deal was.
Yeah. Markets couldn't care less. You know, they were trying to do a vote 1 a.m. in the morning on Sunday or Monday. I guess it would be Monday morning at 1 a.m. I'm thinking, what are they doing that? You know, I mean, crazy. And I guess they just didn't want the markets to erupt. Markets did open up Sunday night a little bit lower, but by the time it opened up on Monday morning, the futures were, of course, flat and then proceeded to just move up throughout the rest of the day. Another day of green. Yeah. But, you know, here's something interesting because a lot of people were really concerned about this. Oh, government shutdown, it's going to be terrible. And, you know, what's going to happen and all this. But if you look at past government shutdowns historically, they haven't been much of a concern for markets. One of the big issues is, why are we having a shutdown, right? The context of the shutdown. So if there's a budget and spending issue, there could be some impact on the markets when it deals with money. But this one was all about, you know, an impasse on immigration.
Yeah, it's about immigration.
That's all it was. You know, kind of, well, I want this, you want that. No. And supposedly, I guess, you know, Trump wasn't going to negotiate and the Republicans were, you know, going to stick to their guns on this. And the Democrats, it looks like, at least from what has been portrayed, you know, gave in. They caved.
Well, they had a losing hand. What looked like to me happened is that Schumer, who was the one behind it and was blamed for it in the media before he came out and gave a speech. He was blamed in the AP. They blamed the Democrats. And I think Reuters and a couple other news operations blamed the Democrats for the shutdown. And Schumer tried to come out and change the narrative and blame Trump, calling it the Trump shutdown. And Trump is not really in Congress, if he hasn't noticed. And but you can blame him anyway. But it wasn't sticking. So they had to get out of that situation as fast as they could.
I like how they use social media and use hashtags, Trump shutdown, Schumer, and Trump's doing the Schumer shutdown, you know, and yeah. They kind of a bunch of big babies, all of them.
It's
you know,
funny.
It's like they're yeah, 5-year-olds.
It's amusing.
Yeah. But anyway, I think most things they thought it was going to be temporary. Now we just have a 2-week or 3-week hiatus till the next government shutdown potentially. And already Schumer pulled his, you know, he was going to do, if you do this, fine, we'll get this done and we'll do the wall. And the other side said, yeah, we'll do something with DACA. Well, Schumer, I guess, pulled his support for the wall, which I didn't think he had to begin with. So, oh, well. Also in market updates, the blow off top that we discussed last week did not confirm. That's pretty obvious.
Yeah, of course, who's going to eat it for that? Me.
Why? Why you?
My stock picks, my shorts.
Oh, yeah. Well, those were two other issues. One of them is out, we'll talk about, and the other one's still in. But we've had the best start of a year in U.S. stocks for decades. I think back to, 1997. It's the best January. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
It's all built on hot air from what I can tell, but okay.
Well, I mean, some of this is, there's definitely a lot of hot air floating around. There's no question about that. And you could see it, by the way, you could see this in things like the rumor mill and how stocks react to rumors. There was some rumor today that Paychex was going to be, what bank was it? It's not BB&T, it was some other bank. They were talking about possibly a merger or some kind of a deal or some kind of a something, and the stock just, I mean, rocketed higher. There was a quick rumor about something to do with Mattel and Hasbro, and Mattel was up like 16% on that. And, you know, you're starting to see like all of this excess crowded.
Skittish.
Yeah, it's getting a
little upside skittish.
Yeah. And the reaction to it is so fast and furious, especially because, you know, you saw some of the things that happened. We'll talk about some of the M&A. We saw that two major companies in the biotech space did some merger. Actually, three biotech mergers, but two biggies. We saw that, what was it? Celgene. Where is this? I have this somewhere on my list here. Celgene bought Juno for $87 a share, 26% premium. Sanofi bought BioVeritav, which is a company that's involved with hemophilia, for $105 a share, a 65% premium. Mm. So it looks like this reduced regulatory environment and an easy FDA. Don't forget something that we had during the campaign and even before the official campaign between Trump and Clinton, when it was the whole slew of the gang, there was a lot of talk about clamping down on the biotech and drug companies, right? Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
What happened? It's gone?
What I expected to happen.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Well, explain why that is. Well, I mean, what is that? Besides the fact that this campaign...
The biotech and the drug companies are huge supporters of political candidates. And so are the insurance companies. And so they're all in bed together. And so, I mean, even though Trump may not have gotten his money from these guys, you still can't do stuff without the legislators. They're all bought and paid for. So nothing's going to happen.
There was some really interesting statistics that were brought out about the cost of lobbying in the fourth quarter with regard to the tax bill and how much the lobbying efforts and what the cost was compared to like other quarters.
Mm-hmm.
It was astronomical.
Yeah, I bet.
You know, in the hundreds of millions of dollars. Ridiculous number.
These guys really know how to spend money.
Well, they spend money because if they twist enough arms and they make enough promises and they, you know, tell the gang what they need to hear, or at least, you know, make it seem that way. I mean, they get a lot of benefit from it. You know, don't forget, there was all these things that were going into the tax plan that looked to hurt various industries. And when the whole thing got out of the sausage-making process, like none of the issues were really a problem. You know, there was a whole thing on the private equity side and that dealt with, the pay and the whole thing was going on there. And then you had the possibility of first in, first out, last in, first out, changing on the capital gains. And there was a whole issue there. And there's all this stuff going on that was a big concern. And none of that made it to the final, kind of made it, you know, the cutting floor. Just gone. Just take it out. It's good.
Yeah.
So let's see what else is going on here. I think both of us would like to provide a warm welcome to Jerome Powell as the next Fed chair. The Senate confirmed him today.
Yes.
That
should be interesting. Yeah.
So he's nothing has changed, and we're going to stay dovish, it looks like, for
forever. As long as he can.
Forever.
Forever.
And then the other thing I want to mention is that what I've noticed is in this market environment, especially over the last couple of months, more so than other times, if you want to be short in this market on any position, you have to be quick. You have to be really quick. Because I'll give you an example. This morning, the Dow was down like 50 or 60 points at one point this morning.
Yeah.
Quickly, within honestly seconds at 10 a.m., it ripped higher by 50 points. I mean, that's a very quick move.
Yeah, this is not a market for the short seller.
Yeah, you got to be, if you do it, you got to be really
quick. Especially the casual short seller. I mean, you might say that it might be okay to long-term put, perhaps.
You could do that possibly, but again, you got to pick your prices pretty well. You got to be really careful. You could be sloppy on your long side. You can be very sloppy. But on the short side, you know, it's interesting because there was a company that it's in my crosshairs of shorting called Overstock.com.
Yeah, you mentioned this before.
So you do the research on this company and the CEO, and there's a lot of really sketchy history. A lot of sketchy history. And there's still some stuff that's going on. It looks like this guy has a vendetta against the shorts because they almost put him out of business a number of years ago. And there was another article that came out today talking about something about the management and blah, 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 blah. And stock was down like 2%, 2.5%. Then somebody who only has about 5,000 or 6,000 Twitter followers tweeted something about how they're heavily invested in this and how this is going a lot higher, even though he understands all of the negative issues with the company. The stock turned around. It was up 5% today.
Hmm. Sounds like a plant.
Yeah. Well, they have a blockchain thing going on too. And
blockchain got to do with Overstock.com.
So Overstock.com created I think it's called T0, which is a platform for trading financial securities and something else. Muriel Siebert actually bought into it, or at least is using it. And it's for very low cost trading and for, trading of securities and for confirmation of transaction. And they're raising, I think it's supposedly through their coin, I think it's upwards of $500 million with their ICO, which I believe at least 100, if not 200 million already has been put out to in private offerings. I don't think it's trading yet, T0. But, you know, so now they have, and then there was rumors that they're going to, you know, get rid of the Overstock part, and that's going to be sold to, who was it? Somebody last week. Kroger. Rumor. Kroger is going to buy Overstock.com, or at least they're going to buy the part of Overstock.com that's their online, because maybe Kroger will get into the online business. You know, kind of like what Walmart did recently or last year with Jet, a year before that maybe. You know, they kind of bought it instead of making it. Crazy stuff going on.
Yes. Sounds like it.
And the last announcement that we have today to just a little administrative here is that we have a new, you have to stick around because we have a new jingle at the end of the show sent to us by Chris Wilson. I don't know if I'm supposed to say his name.
Yeah, you can say his name.
Chris Wilson. Well known. Chris Wilson. Said three times. Anyway, so we'll have that at the end of the show. All right, more things. The IMF World Economic Outlook is a bit brighter. It's been upgraded pretty much across the board. I put a table here. You can find this on dhunplugged.com under the show notes for episode number 392. And you can see that generally from 2017 through 2018, everybody except for the UK, well, Russia and India also have not been upgraded. See that?
Okay.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
US has been... basically the GDP has been upgraded from 2.3% to 2.7%. All right, I'm stupid. Help me with something. Look at the euro area for a second there. Actually, look at the euro area. Look at Germany.
Okay, sorry, I was looking at the Spearman chart.
Getting ahead.
Yeah, I'm getting ahead. Okay, I'm looking at the world. I'm looking at Germany. Where's Germany?
Germany. You know what? Now they're looking at this.
2.505.
I don't understand this chart at all.
2.3.
I just decided. I don't understand. Oh, I see what they're doing here. So it's not the difference between 2017 and 2018. It's just the difference of their upgrade of what they have is final 2017 and final 2018.
It doesn't say that on here.
Right. So in other words, if you look at the world, it says that one looks like there's a 2.2% increase, right? If you look at the advanced, it looks like it's flat, 2.3 to 2.3. But they say that there's a 0.3 upgrade and a 0.4 upgrade.
Okay. Well, then I would say, generally speaking, that this little thing you put here is pretty useless.
I would say meaningless at the same time.
Yeah, meaningless. Yeah. Okay.
So, yeah, I thought it was when I first looked at it. So it was kind of. I know they've been upgraded, but anyway, it
does show you that India and China are cooking.
Yeah, 6.6, 6.8, 6.6 in 2018. What's India? 7.4. Wow. And Brazil's just hanging and doing nothing.
Yeah, it's the country of the future.
Yeah. Let's see what he. Okay. Every day, we're seeing analyst upgrades, and you have to wonder if this is at this point the tail wagging the dog, because what's been happening is that so an analyst comes in with their price target of, I don't know, let's say $100. They do this 2 months ago. $100 for this stock. Maybe it's trading at 90, right? Then what happens is the stock goes to 100 within a couple of months. You know, that's their year-end target. So now they say, well, wait a minute. We're at 100 in our target, and the stock's at 100. Even though we did all the math and all the calculations on the fundamentals and all that, it reached our target, so we can't be a target. That means it's kind of like reached our, can't be a buy. Can't have a buy target on something that's at the current price, right? So what do they do? They just upgrade it. They say, sure, 110.
I would.
110.
Yeah, 110. It's got to always be up.
It has to be higher. So what do you think about that? You know, the market's dictating the price of the analyst. I mean, could we say that analysts are not even worth anything anymore? Or?
Well, I think that I don't know what to think of any of this, to be honest about it. I'm quite confused.
Seriously, it is confusing, isn't it?
Well, it's just because it's so chaotic. And it's like there's like there's a money grab feeling about it.
Yeah.
And when you get that, to see that, and this is like the people, you know, man on the street that wants to sell his house for Bitcoin. I mean, this whole thing is very unstable.
You know, it's funny because do you think that this next generation is much more about money for everything than other generations?
You're talking about the upcoming millennials?
Yeah, the millennials and anybody younger than us. Let's look at it that way.
Well, it's almost everyone. not sure.
Because I read
The millennials came up during the never-ending recessions that began with the dot-com collapse in 99 through 2001. And so they've never seen a good economy. They weren't around for the Reagan years or the Clinton economy was quite fun. And so they don't know, generally speaking. I mean, maybe they were 10 years old during Clinton's era. It's hard to say, but they don't know anything other than whatever's going on at the moment. They have no real sense of things. And so, and they seem very frugal, but at the same time, they're kind of dumb the way they spend their money. They buy off brands that are very expensive, which I find to be very fascinating. So instead of buying, you know, S&W green beans, they'll buy some brand that you've never heard of, and the beans will be twice as expensive and not necessarily any better.
But you know, because I'm finding a lot of the younger people, maybe we'll kind of go into the millennial side of it, you know, exclusively for a second. It's everything's about money. You know, they talk it. I mean, I saw a tweet today that sent something to the effect of, if you see an author that you like and you want to ask them a question and you say, hey, can I just pick your brain about something? Don't do it. First, they deserve to be paid. Click on a PayPal button or something before you actually ask them. I'm thinking, what isn't sometimes helping people enough?
Well, what do you mean? Because what they're saying there is that people should not be exploited. That seems like a noble thing to recognize.
I could see that part. I have no problem with that. But at the same time, it seems to me that not all the time. I mean, it's, you know, you don't have to always get money for everything. I mean, how many people I help and how many times people ask me things in an email, whatever, I just send them an answer. I mean, now, listen, if it's, can you review my portfolio? Can you then, you know, give me all the different things that
do? No, there is, and I think those are the slightly older, I think that's kind of the ex-geners. They've kind of picked this up. They kind of do that. routinely. I think that's what you're talking about.
Yeah.
The millennials aren't that mercantile.
Oh, I just got a little, I just find some of the things a little bit over the top in terms of it always has to be something in it for me.
Yeah.
And sometimes doing something for free, there is something in it for you. What maybe when you do something, somebody says, hey, thanks so much for that advice. You know, when I maybe, you know, do something with it, I'll use your services or something like that. But just seemed like they were getting a little over the top and a little bit greedy.
I think there's some elements of that.
Yeah,
for sure.
Now, we had a big week for earnings. Tech earnings started off the week with Netflix, which was yesterday after the close. They blew the top off of all the numbers. One of the things about Netflix, we saw that there was a major new addition of subscribers. That was pretty big. They just met their EPS number, but it was really their outlook. So they said that a couple of different things. First of all, they expected their margins to be like 10%, which is about 300 basis points higher moving into the next year. They said also, and I quote, in the near term, however, membership revenue and original content spend are booming. So membership revenue and original content spend are booming. We're growing faster than we expected, which allows us to invest more in original content than we had planned. So our free cash flow will be a negative $3 to $4 billion in 2018. Everybody looks over that because I think they look at the Amazon model, what happened there for years, where Amazon was just spending like a drunken sailor.
Yeah.
Weren't making any money. And, you know, then all of a sudden, you know, they stopped the spend because they built out the whole infrastructure. I don't know if Netflix can actually ever build out the infrastructure.
What's the build?
Well, it's all the original content.
Well, I mean, original content, the problem with the original content, it's like unlike Amazon, for example, buying a Whole Foods, throwing money at that and picking up a whole chain of stores. That has legs. Original content doesn't. Original content after a year is dead. It doesn't bring in any income. I mean, I'm sure it brings in some marginal income, but they take a lot of that stuff even off the front page. That's the hit business. This is like the music industry or like the movie business, this original content. You have to be producing constant original content. If you have 10 hits a year and you spend all this money on it, yeah, okay, you get all this money back, you think you do because you're getting more subscribers. You have to spend that money again and again and again. And you can't stop spending that money. You can't do what Amazon did.
Right. And it's not repeatable, is your point. It's not repeatable or it's not... it's not baseline.
It's not like a capital expense or anything you can just sit on.
Right. But they moved the stock up and now the stock has an all-time high. Now the stock has a valuation of $100 billion. You like that?
Yeah.
Pretty good, huh? This week, we also have earnings from Procter & Gamble came out today. Kind of didn't do so well. Verizon, there was a big benefit from... I find it really interesting. A lot of these companies are coming in with either benefits, big benefits, like in the billions, from the new tax code, or there's big losses. A lot of the banks posted massive losses. I'm thinking, wait a minute, the tax code starts in 2018. Amazing how they took these one-time deals already for last quarter. Now, some of their fiscals are moving into 2018. I get that. But still, you have to wonder how they managed to do that.
Creative bookkeeping?
Mm-hmm. So they write it all off right now. They take a gigantic one time. Everybody's like, okay, fine. Who cares right now? It's a tax code. It's something. It's some, you know, financial moving from, you know, one box to the other. So who cares? And, you know, hoping that obviously that will create a massive amount of opportunity for them to then move something from one box to the other in the future to boost up earnings. So Capital One come out tonight after the close. They didn't do so well. They actually missed by about 23 cents. Texas Instruments, they had a massive, about 67% drop in revenue, and supposedly, again, because of the tax code, or as we say sometimes, because of the weather. GE's tomorrow morning before the open. Stock was down at about 16 this morning, and it closed up to about, I think it turned around because a lot of the shorts were probably getting out before earnings. And the, I think they moved to about 1680 by the end of the day. So we're going to have Also, Royal Caribbean, F5 Networks, Las Vegas Sands, Whirlpool, which who knows what's going to happen with there. We're going to talk about that in a second, about the new Trump tariffs that somehow were put on solar and large residential washing machines. I don't know how they got that one in there.
Like the washing machines?
Yeah, why did they put vacuums in there? I don't understand.
I think he made this promise to some labor group at some point because I think it had to do with Maytag, I believe. Yeah. I'm not sure.
Yeah, because Samsung and all these other companies were – but a lot of these companies also, like a Samsung, has operations here.
Well, there's no problem with that.
Yeah, but it's going to hurt them because any kind of – anything they bring in from Japan, possibly any parts and stuff like that could be a problem, and it's a problem. Well, but we saw Delta Airlines, and there was some problem there tonight. American Airlines coming out, Freeport, Mac Moran, Sherwin-Williams, Intel, Starbucks, and Honeywell, plus a couple hundred more. Next week, Apple, Google, Amazon. Plenty of other tech companies as well. What do you think about Apple? How do you think that's going to – what's your thoughts on this?
I've written a few columns about this, about how the I think they're going to give up on the Macintosh because of the hints they make in some of their commercials. You know, where they go on and on about, oh, what's a computer that what's a computer commercial to me is the giveaway. You don't do that if you're selling computers. Yeah, demeaning the whole computer thing.
Yep. It's a little weird. The little girl sitting on the lawn.
The little girl sitting on the lawn.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have mixed feelings about what they're up to.
There was, I think, Deutsche Bank tonight. Maybe it was this afternoon, cut their estimates. They said that, I think they said something like the iPhone 10 will be less than the sales, you know, as miserable as
iPhone 8. Yeah, no, they're talking about bad sales. But I don't trust these guys. They're talking about bad sales, and next thing you know, their sales are higher than they're supposed to be, and everybody's happy. I just, until I see real numbers.
Yep.
I'm not paying any attention.
All right. Well, we've seen some, what we've seen so far is generally good outlook from the tech companies due to a couple things. Obviously, we know the tax cuts, but also the slumping U.S. dollar. I mean, the dollar is at, I want to check this. It was at right at 90. The dollar basket was right at 90, down about 10% in the last 4 or 5 weeks.
Hang on. Checking.
Yep. Cut through 90. It's 89.97 right now.
Jesus, really dropping like a rock.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's funny.
Euro's a $1.23.
Yeah.
Your pound is up to a $1.40.
It's amazing. You know, there's a couple of different reasons on this, and it's hard to understand what's happening. All these correlations are kind of shot. You have a good quality economy. Things are getting better. Interest rates rising.
It's inviting, it seems to me, it's inviting investment in this country.
Yes. Oh, it's clearly inviting investment in the country. And it's really helping out these stocks. The only problem is it seems, how we've always tried to label this one or that one a currency manipulator. And we, waved a hand and all that. They're, unfair pricing and unfair movement of the currency. That's really, and then you put on top of it a few different tariffs. Some of these countries are getting pretty pissed off. South Korea is going to possibly do a complaint to the World Trade Organization, and so is there's like three or four other countries that are now really pissed off. It's funny. We went from a time period that we made nice to everybody for like 8 years to just totally pissing everybody off in a matter of like a year.
Ed, I don't know. Probably saw it as something you had to do.
Yeah. I don't think it was right under the Obama, the way that we pussyfooted around and everybody was, don't step on any toes and make everybody feel good and give away money. That was terrible also. But it just seems like we got a heavy hand in this here. So Adobe came out with earnings. I didn't think it was very impressive. Well, I mean, they definitely had some good numbers, but generally, it wasn't the growth that we've seen before.
Well, they're going to run out of steam because of the nature of what they really make all their money on, which is the Creative Cloud.
Yeah.
And it's probably going to saturate. and they don't really. And the thing is, it brings in a steady income. When that steady income, it goes flat. It doesn't have any. There's no reason for a big burst of activity, because they don't. They're not going to bring it. They're not bringing out any new products. It looks makes the company look stagnant. I think there's an issue, a problem with this.
Well, the other problem is that everything. If they rolled everything up into that one subscription, you're saying, right?
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, they get the constant revenue, but I agree with you. But what's the upsell?
You know, I don't see how they can do it.
Yeah.
They can have a downsell, which might help if they can get these, because there's only pros that are affording this subscription.
It's not expensive. It's like, what, $49 a month or something like that?
$600. What, $49 a month is $600 a year. You don't think that's expensive for just somebody who wants to fool around with Photoshop? $600 is kind of high.
You could use it on a couple different computers. You used to have to pay, if you wanted this stuff, the package was like $3,000.
You could use it on a, yes, but then it was yours forever.
Yeah, but then you wouldn't get any upgrades.
Well,
they have upgrades.
I know it sounds cheap. It sounds cheap. But, and you can't really use it on a couple different computers that I know of. I mean, you can use it on different computers, but not at the same time.
You can use it on two computers at once.
I didn't hear this. Yeah, when did that happen?
I have it on my Mac right here. As a matter of fact, I'm recording this right now on, what is this? Adobe Audition.
Premiere?
Audition. Oh, and you could use it on this computer, and you can use it on my, I have it also on my PC, this other PC. I got a few computers in here, this other PC right here. And you can use it on two. Now, if I wanted
at the same time.
Yeah. And you can also deregister a computer.
No, I know that. I know all the details, but I didn't know you could do two.
Yep.
I know it's a Microsoft thing, which is cheaper. You can use it on, I think, three or four. Or maybe five. I'm not sure.
What Microsoft thing?
You mean Office 360.
Right. I think I have a subscription and it covers like four computers. It's a family plan. And it covers like four people or five.
I think it's four or five.
Yeah. Let's see. Amazon.
Of course, if your subscription lapses, all these other people in the family got nothing.
Right. Well, it's the same thing with the phones. I mean, I've been with AT&T forever, for better or for worse.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, and I have a family plan. So if I kick somebody off, their prices go ridiculous. So and my price doesn't go down that much. So I kind of just keep all the kids.
Yeah, well, this is kind of a, I don't know what to make of the whole thing, but I don't like it. I don't like the idea of any of these things that the subscription-based models. I mean, I was a big fan of the Adobe idea because I think it was going to help the company. But when I think about it, I don't like the idea of being tethered to actually, Adobe does it a little better than a lot of these guys. But you're tethered to the web or you're tethered to the internet. Yeah, you do have the programs there. Adobe downloads the separate programs. And so it's kind of like the programs on the computer. It's not, you're running it off the internet.
It's just more like an authentication that has to be done and upgrades.
Yeah, it's mostly for that. But it's something about it. I don't know. They do have their own little cloud you can put stuff on, and so does Microsoft. And I just put up really on Microsoft, they use their cloud, and it's like use it for backing up sketchy files that I probably don't care if I lose them.
Yeah.
By that I mean, for example, I'll do the No Agenda newsletter and I'll back up the file to the Microsoft cloud. But I don't care if it gets killed.
Yeah, you have it somewhere else.
Well, no, yeah, it's on MailChimp, one copy, and one copy would be on Microsoft. And it's not something I'm going to ever use again. I don't even know why I'm keeping them.
I have a few things like that. Like I have old, for the last 10 years, I have old podcast master files that I keep. I don't know why I don't get rid of it every time.
Yeah, just keep the podcast itself.
Yeah, the MP3. If you ever need to edit it, you could always use the MP3 and just edit that.
Yeah, you can, and it works fine.
I know. It's just that one of these days. When things get overloaded, I have you have so much space on computers now that who cares?
Yeah, well, not if you switch over to all silicon.
You're talking about the flash drives?
All your hard disks would be silicon. Yeah, flash. Right. Flash drives are all flash drives.
So... Amazon is also upping their prices for membership by $2 for their Prime membership.
I saw that and I thought, you can get it. Prime is so valuable to people who actually use it. Because, you know, you can buy stuff casually. You don't care because everything comes free. And it usually shows up the next day, if not, you know, 2 days later. Mm-hmm. And you don't have to pay for shipping. And you can get away with just a $2 increase. And it, what, they make $300 million more just by doing that quick fix.
Right.
That's astonishing to me.
Well, I mean, I think that, you know, this is the process of heating a frog in a
boiling
pot.
A frog, yeah, in a bucket. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's what this is. You know, like Netflix, you open it up, add a dollar. They're going to get $300 million annually to Amazon for this $2 increase.
And don't you think this is somewhat reminiscent of the cable companies?
Yeah.
Years ago, you could get cable TV for nothing. It was like $9 a month or something.
Yeah, well, no, not anymore. No.
Good luck with that. Now they have these little some offers at 19 or so. But generally speaking, you're spending $100 a month for cable TV.
I don't even want to talk about what mine is. I told you I'm paying a ridiculous amount.
Yeah, what is it? You told us once before.
It's like $325.
You're paying.
I know, I'm an idiot.
$3,600 a year to watch television?
Yeah, they threw in obviously health insurance with it as well. No, it's what I. That's what. I, well, that's a combination of my televisions and internet. But I tried to reduce the price a few times, and they're like, "Well, you know, you got the triple play." I said, "I only have the triple play from Comcast because it was cheaper." And I said, "You know, I just can't do this. The problem is, I like my HBO. You know, I record stuff. I like Showtime. I like the high def." Channels. That's all I watch is high def channels. And sure. So I got to figure out a way where I'm getting there. What I'm going to do is I'm going to just go internet only and get like a sling, you know, the sling.
Yeah. This will not be satisfactory.
It won't be, right?
No.
Yeah. That's the problem. I'm concerned. I mean, I could definitely buy the individual components like HBO Go and Showtime. I could buy use my Apple TV and buy all that stuff, but I still have a problem with what I'm going to do with regular channels.
Well, you can get an antenna.
I get, yeah. I don't watch the local regular channels, but you know, like.
What is a regular CNBC channel to you?
I don't really watch.
CNBC, yeah. CNBC, you're going to have to
That. No, you can get that in an app.
You can get it online.
Yeah, exactly. So, but again, it's very comfortable just sitting there with my stupid little remote that has a voice activation and just, hello, I'd like to watch some tennis. I'd like to watch some poker. You know, I want to watch this show. It's just easy. I got to do something about it. I will do something before the end of this year. I'm telling you, I'll do something about it.
Yeah, it sounds like a huge expense just a wasteful expense.
I could have been buying Bitcoin the whole time.
You'd been loaded.
Yep. We got some nice emails, by the way, and donations over the last few days because we had some great picks. Over time. We had two of them in particular.
Yeah, I hope nobody's shorted Netflix.
We had Edit and CRISPR, if you remember those. Those are up like 100% since mention. Let's see what else we have. Okay, let's go to the charts, why don't we? We're starting to see some warnings come out for stocks related to valuations and technicals. We've seen that. A lot of people starting to talk about it. Not that many because they don't seem to let them on TV. But every once in a while, we're starting to see some writings. You go to like MarketWatch, by the way, .com, MarketWatch.com. They're really negative over there. I never realized, you know, when you're seeing just all positive and beautiful things on every other site, these guys are super negative.
Yeah, I didn't notice.
But some of the indicators that I've tracked over time have never been at the levels that they've been before. Like the RSI, the rolling, like a 3-month RSI. But also I had a problem, an algo that I use in the office for certain things. You know, basically creating a variety of either indices or maybe some broad-based market timing mechanisms just to kind of give another calculation into the process. It bugged out on me about 2 weeks ago.
What do you mean it bugged out?
I've been running this thing that we wrote for a long time and all of a sudden it stopped working. It just came up and says some kind of weird error, division by zero, and this really weird thing came up. I'm like, what's going on there? So I looked at it, Turns out what I think happened was that the current market is in such low volatility and the range of up and down days are so tight that it one of my inputs became a zero input.
Oh.
You follow what I'm saying? That never happened if you look back in like 20 years.
No, that's not a good sign.
So I don't know what that means, but I did put up the Spearman chart. Every once in a while we look at this because I think the Spearman chart's kind of cool.
Yeah, I don't know what it is.
Basically, if you just look at it, I put some crosshairs on this, the red lines. Anytime the Spearman gets, you know, totally overdone to the upside, and the reverse is true also, there seems to
How's this different for, isn't this like the RSI?
It is, but it's a different calculation. This is, I can get send you the calculation if you want. But basically, it's the same concept, right? It's a trender slash oscillator, where it's looking at, you know, well, there's a couple of lines on there, but just look at the general.
It has to go below the bottom red line before that means anything, and it hasn't done that.
The zero line is the important. Those that really subscribe to the Spearman really look for the zero line, a break below the zero or a break above the zero. I want to see extremes though. I like to look when it's over the let's call it the 90 level.
Yeah.
Okay. And right now,
we're under the minus 90 level, which has not happened.
Not happened, but especially when you get these lows, even in the negative 80s, you see, anytime you see these negative 80s or so, they pop right back up pretty fast. So when you see the Spearman rolling over from a top, which is like above 90, and it rolls down, you can see that there's been little, again, this chart is a little bit tight. You can't really see all.
I would say this is this to me like no time for shorts.
No time for shorts, but you are starting to see some indications that we are really stretched.
I don't see it.
Okay. On this chart, you mean you don't see it?
Yeah, I don't see it on the Spearman chart.
Well, you're at 96 right now. It's and I agree with you. It's not there yet because if we still have the Spearman that goes horizontally right now, nothing's a problem. If it starts to roll down, that's where you can have some problems.
Yeah, but it's rolled down before and the problems are negligible because it never gets to 90.
It never right. The problems have been negligible. Again, this chart is scrunched a little bit because only half the screen on the top. But I mean, it could be a 4 or 5%. Although there hasn't been a 5% correction in a long time, so maybe it's 2%, which is nothing. I agree. Although a 2% correction would seem like all hell's breaking loose these days.
Oh yeah, sure would. At these numbers,
you know, almost like a half a percent is like, oh my god, what's happening with markets?
I mean, 1% is what 2,800 or 280. It's a lot.
No, it's 28 points. 28 points is 1%.
Oh, okay, right. 28 is 1%. I'm thinking of 10%.
I got to tell you, we got the chat rooms going berserk tonight with these topics. I guess because we mentioned cable and we mentioned Netflix and Amazon. They're loving it. I don't know. I hope the chat doesn't blow up here. You know that Bitcoin ETF, GBTC?
Yeah. I think you played it once or you didn't play it. Yeah. I don't remember.
We did. Short. Reverse split coming 91 for one.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
That's something to see.
Yep. Intel said Monday that patches in its release to address this, two very important vulnerabilities in its chips, that patches are faulty, advising customers not to do them. Stop installing them. He said that it makes for unpredictable behavior. This is not so good.
Who said this?
Intel. Intel said the patches.
Well, I haven't applied any patches. I did upgrade all my browsers. That was recommended because a lot of this could be done through browsers of some smart JavaScript. So you upgrade your browsers and you're pretty good to go. And then Microsoft is doing various upgrades on Windows itself, which is supposed to fix the rest of it. So I don't know what they must be talking about, some third party patches that people have dreamed up.
No. Intel, let me read it back to you. Intel said on Monday that patches it released to address two high profile.
It released.
Yeah. Intel. And AMD does have the same problem. So it's not like you can just shift over to AMD from Intel and then where else are you gonna go? There's not much left. I mean, you can't buy a PC that doesn't have you can maybe, but generally speaking, you either have an Intel in there or I didn't even look to see if I have this problem. Which I'm sure.
You can go to Steve Gibson has a utility that you can quickly download. It's a very small product, and you can I can't think of the name of it offhand, but the chat room will know.
I don't want
to just download it. That takes 1 second to download, then you run it, and it tells you you got problems or no problems.
Yeah, I'm not interested in knowing. It's kind of like I don't want to know if I'm sick.
I don't want to know.
Yeah, don't tell me. I'm not sick if you don't tell me. So. Okay, we talked about the solar. The solar companies got a nice boost on the news from the tariffs. Oh, we got some Fed limericks.
Yeah, I see this.
Now, I got two in from listeners. And one.
Okay, we have 1, 2, 3 Fred limericks.
Yeah.
All right.
You want to take one of them or you want me to do it?
No. They're all yours.
Oh, thanks.
Until I write my own.
Okay. The first one comes to us from Gary Henneberry.
Good old Gary.
And he's written before, so I think this is...
Yes, about my comments about his,
yeah,
his limericks. Or
so he says, Dvorak always gives me a C. He likes Fed money for free. Are Fed motives good or reverse Robin Hood? I think in time, I think we will see.
I like that one.
Oh.
But I'm going to have to still give him a C because that's what he's anticipating.
Well, if you give him a B, maybe if a C, he's not going to come up with a new one. If you give him like a C.
Well, if it was a B all the time, the rhyme would still work.
You got to give him an A or an F.
I'll give him an A minus.
All right, Gary. What rhymes with minus? Linus. This one comes from Chris Beeb. Beeb. Here we go. There once was a Fed in control. Low rates and loans were the goal. Now, with bubbles galore and longing for more, metastability is in a black hole.
Well, hole and more is a bit of a stretch.
No, it's hole and goal.
Yeah, hole and goal, but galore and more. Galore, more, let's see, control, goal, galore, more, hole. I like it. I think it's good. I'll give him a B, but it's something about the rhythm of that last sentence, that last metastability is in a black hole. I think it's a little off.
Let's see.
But he gets a B. I'll give him a B.
I got a B.
Okay. Now here's yours.
Here's mine. The Govy is officially shut down. All in Congress, we're sporting a frown. Soon the Fed will come in with all sorts of spin to ensure the markets rebound.
Rebound and come in.
Shut down. Shut down. Rebound. It's in there. It's in within. It's in with the vicinity.
I like you. We're on a roll.
Yeah.
I think you could have. I think you could make that work, but you didn't.
Oh.
I'm giving you a D.
Oh. A D. Oh, you're the limerick hater. All right. Chat room gave me, let's see, chat room, we got A minuses, B minuses. Yeah, chat room's disappointed. Yep. All right, you know, you can follow John C. Dvorak at The Real Dvorak or limerickhater.com. And myself, Andrew Horowitz, you can follow as well with just the word Andrew Horowitz. And of course, if you love the limericks, if you want to hear more or you want us to totally, you know, ditch this stuff, you could make a donation. And again, thanks to everybody that does help out the show. Pays for all the different things that we...
Pays for the shirts.
Yep, the shirts. And a reminder, we have... And just go over to DH Unplugged and click on the little button there. That's interesting. Hold on a second. Yeah, okay. Yeah, that should have been the last line. Dvorak is a troll. That would have been good on Chris's. Was a Fed in control. Low rates and loans were the goal. Now with bubbles galore and longing for more, let's all agree that Dvorak's a troll.
It just doesn't make any sense at all.
Somebody bought the domain already for Limerickator.
Good. Live with it.
Anyway, the close to the pin for NVIDIA is up. NVIDIA hit a new high.
They're on a roll.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. Unbelievable. So good company. A lot of the blockchain stuff and Bitcoin stuff is doing it. By the way, I just want to say that I had the opportunity to spend some time with people last week, and one gentleman who's supposedly in some kind of Bitcoin business, and he starts talking to me, and he was so wrong about a lot of things. So I understand from all the Bitcoiners out there and the crypto guys and gals out there, when you say something, it's kind of like nails against the blackboard. I get it. But this guy was so off on what he was talking about. It was just basic issues.
Gosh, I've never run into that before.
Yeah. All right. Prediction time. Uber Technologies chief executive Dara Khosrowshahi predicts that within the next decade, we'll have flying cars.
Gee, I've never heard that before.
Yeah. There you go. Bill Ackman, you know who he is, right? He's that the loudmouth hedge fund manager from Pershing Square that you know, did all sorts of things. He was shorting Herbalife, and he went against Carl Icahn, and Icahn's like, no, I love Herbalife, and kind of came to a whole pissing match with him.
Yes, it was fantastic.
Yeah. And what's interesting is that all this time I'm thinking, you know, this guy really should just shut up. He should stop going on TV and all this stuff, because what's happening is that he lays out his positions and then other people seem to attack it. And maybe somebody's got like a vendetta against him with plenty of money. So it seems that after 3 years of losses in his hedge fund, he's laying off about 20% of his company, of the staff, and looking to lower his public profile. So I think that was a great, great idea by him. Seriously, I think it's a really good idea. So according to Bloomberg, some guy, the global director of the fintech strategy at Autonomous Research, he said in under 10 years, hackers have been able to steal $1.2 billion worth of Bitcoin and Ethereum. I like that.
Makes sense.
Yeah. Anthony Noto, you know him? He's the, he was one of the top execs over at Twitter.
I know, I don't know him.
He was supposed to be the heir apparent, it seemed, if ever Dorsey kind of stepped aside, I suppose. He left, put in his resignation today. He's going to be the online, he's going to be the CEO of SoFi, Social Finance, which is this company that you can invest in to buy student loans and things of that nature.
Yeah.
Quickly, following a recent diagnosis, this is terrible, depressing. I was depressed on this. Recent diagnosis with Parkinson's, Neil Diamond's canceling his Australian, New Zealand tour dates and retiring.
Yeah.
I never saw him live. Very disappointing. Two other things here. Germany's KBA automotive watchdog has detected, would you guess it, more problems with the Audi's latest Euro 6 diesel models.
Figures.
So there's going to be a recall of 850,000 of those. And finally, China has banned hip-hop culture and actors with tattoos from appearing on television.
They got a strong cultural ministry in China, it seems.
Yeah.
They don't want anybody to get any ideas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's going to be, let's see, they're going to be outlawing it. You don't want to mess with them over there. If they don't like it, just forget it.
You better go along with the program.
Yeah, exactly. And let me ask you something. What are you writing for PC Magazine this week?
About Amazon Go.
Oh, my God. No kidding.
Well, I wrote about Amazon Go in 2016 when they first released the idea. And now that they've got a store up and running, I guess they've been testing it all year, I had some thoughts on it.
Yeah.
And I didn't know how they were going to make it work. And the way they're making it work, which can only be done in a small facility, which is 1,800 square foot store, they are just doing camera tracking. They track you like a dog with a camera, and then they see what you buy, and then you get billed on your Amazon account when you're out of there.
Because they're not using RFID tags.
I don't think so.
No, because there was an announcement about this. So yeah. What are they actually using? Some kind of product recognition software?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, really? if you ever had the Amazon Fire phone, you could aim it at a product and push a button, and it would do wiggle around and flash and blink and then tell you exactly what the product was and what it cost. So this is probably the same technology.
How do you know quantity?
They can count. A camera can see you putting one or two items in.
You know, when you go to the self checkout at Home Depot and you got to put it on this stupid thing that weighs it or whatever it does.
Yeah. When we were in England a few weeks ago, I guess last month in November, it was more than that. I noticed that in London, almost all those big stores, Boots, all the grocery stores, they relied on self-checkout. Some of the places had nothing but self-checkout, and they were more elaborate than the ones we get to see over here. And they're worse. They do not work.
Hmm.
And I think Amazon figured this out. And said, nah, nuts to that. We're going to bypass these stupid machines. They're very expensive. I know the ones at the grocery stores around here, you put a bag on a thing, and then he says, oh, you remove it from the item. Yeah. Oh, it weighs too much. It doesn't weigh the way. Bing, 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 right. Bing. It's like you're like a gambling machine. It's got the little light that blinks like you hit a jackpot. and somebody comes over and they key code it and they push buttons and they run their card through it and they say, okay, and then they put it in the bag. I mean, it's ridiculous.
I still don't understand how this is going to work in a much larger place.
It won't.
Oh. And you can't have a store that's totally packed. You have to limit the amount of people that are in there, don't
they
you?
This is where they've had problems. They've had problems when the stores are too crowded and then the system crashes. And then I guess you get everything for free. But yes, these are 1,800 square foot operations. They're just little convenience things for buying milk and sandwiches. And you go in there and you get your sandwich or whatever. And the little camera follows you and you get out of there. It's not a grocery store.
It would seem to me that if someone is blocking the view of the camera...
Cameras are apparently, I don't know this, I haven't been to the store. The cameras are, it sounds like they're a matrix all in the ceilings, and there's numerous ones. It's like, I think they're using the same kind of technology you would use with GPS, where your GPS receiver figures out which one to listen to, which are the satellites, and then maybe takes two or three of them, and then it can figure out where you are. I think there's something like that.
And how do they know it's you? Do you have to register?
No, you have to walk. I'm like a spokesman for the company.
Yeah.
I should be doing the dog and pony.
Yeah.
You walk in, your cell phones get registered with Amazon. And then when you walk in, you put your phone, it has to be RFID enabled, I believe, and or whatever it's called. Near field.
NFC.
And so bing, I said, okay, this Dvorak's in there buying, and you put your phone away, and the camera starts watching you. And then you buy this, you buy that, and you buy this, and you buy that, and then you just leave. I think there's a screen and the exit, because they described it, and it shows what you bought. And if you dispute what you bought with what's on the screen, you just tap it. And I think it takes their word for it, and you don't have to pay for that item. And you go home.
You would think they should do that on your phone, have a running tally of it.
Maybe that's not a bad idea.
Remember the old days people would have little counters in the grocery stores to see how much they were spending?
Yes, I remember that.
Remember those?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Nobody does that anymore.
No, they don't bother.
Yeah. All right, let's take a look at the stocks here. This is a game that we play. It's not a recommendation to buy or sell any security. It's just simply for the entertainment value of it all. If for whatever reason you decide that you want to follow along and buy some of these, please do so with a due amount of caution, because it's risky business, and go seek a financial advisor or somebody that can help you along with this. John C. Dvorak, myself, or Horowitz Company clients may own any of the positions that we talk about. Actually, I got to add that, because there's one of them I'm mentioning that we just picked up today. I got to add that disclosure. You can follow all this over on dhunplug.com. Go over to the weekly stock picks on the right side. You can kind of follow along what's going on with all these. That's all I have.
Well, I was looking at the Baker Brothers and what they've been up to.
Yeah.
Curiously, their latest investment of, find this hard to believe. Although, let me see what the price is right now. The price is already 20 points over what they paid. They bought it at 101. It's at 120. One of your old classics.
What is that?
Bygene.
Again, back to that again.
Yeah.
You made a lot of money with that.
Yeah, well, I don't know if I want to go back to, because it's already jumped after they bought it at 100. But I will anyway, because they bought lots of it.
What's the symbol on that?
BGNE.
Oh, N-E, right. BGNE. Maybe it could be another bio candy. Somebody was saying in the chat room that your Idera was bought out.
Yeah. Yeah. That was another
so
one.
Back from, to, we just like writing and saying Baker Brothers.
Baker Brothers.
Do you want to go over the stocks that we have already?
That wouldn't be a bad idea.
No. Good. Hit it.
Okay. We got Straight Path Communications, a short, which is yours, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And you called that to the numbers. It's up 22%. I think it was a great pick, even though it was back in January, February, March, April, May of last year. But it's hanging in there.
Mm-hmm.
Penske's up. It was an insider's thing, 12%. So that was a good call. That was mine. Cara Therapeutics is up 8%. That was yours. That was a good call. General Electric, I was on the upside for that. It's gone down 5%. And Viacom, same thing.
Bumped.
And they both got bumped.
Yep.
So those are out, which is giving me some thinking that I should put them back on. You had some RYB Education and ADR.
Yeah, there's a good lesson in this one.
Went up a point. 10%.
The lesson in this is it doesn't matter if you have child molesters that work for you. The markets just want to push everything higher.
They don't care. Nope. They don't care. Nope. They're not molesting their child, so right. So what?
Right.
The Netflix has been kicked off. It was the blow-off top bet. It was a short.
Mm-hmm.
Bad idea. And then also I shorted Amazon, which is still hanging in there, but it's minus 3%. So we'll see.
Actually, this is not the right symbol on this one that I want. It's not quite right. It's S. Anyway, what else do you have? I'm going to look something up.
I've just got the Baker Brothers pick, and that's all I really have that I want to deal with. S-Y-F. Well, I'm going to put one on there just because we're following it for the contest. Let's put NVIDIA on there, too.
Okay, NVDA, enter. Okay, and just because, is that the?
Yeah, just because.
Okay.
Momentum play, momentum play.
Oh, M-O-M-O play. Okay, got it. Let's see here. This is JCD pick. All right, let me tell you what I got real quick. I mentioned this last time that I was looking at a particular stock, Synchrony Financial. This is one of these companies that has exorbitant credit card fees and issues them as kind of white label deals. And, you know, if you go into Costco or Sam's or maybe even Best Buy, get their credit card. It's or if you want to get, you know, credit, it's kind of Synchrony. It's kind of
would you like to save 5% on this order if you take out a Target credit card?
Mm-hmm. So
and you know what you're supposed to say?
Right. Exactly.
So, no.
Oh yeah, of course. But this what it's like? What they step right into what Capital One Financial used to do, higher risk loans with higher charges, of course. But if you think about it. You know, when you have that higher risk situation, if markets or, I mean, if the economy ever runs into a problem for whatever reason, you know, people can't afford things. And definitely if there's layoffs and all that, that's going to get hit hard. Now, we're not near there yet. However, Capital One Financial came out and missed pretty significantly tonight. So I'm thinking that maybe with all the credit cards that they have, it is a possibility that Synchrony Financial, also a stock that, you know, has a similar, as some parts of it are similar. With the credit card side, that maybe there's going to be a problem there too. So I'm putting that on as a short. And
it says Cisco.
No, I just changed it. It's SYF as a symbol. Symbol SYF. Okay. And then I'm going along Redfin, which is the alternative to real estate agents at 5% or 6%.
No. Ugh.
A lot of people are using these guys. A lot of people really
know,
like it.
I know they are. I don't have a lot of. I mean, this is the first home for sale by owner. You know, taken to the kind of a in between level.
Kind of hybrid.
Hybrid, and I don't ever. I don't know. I'm never a big fan of these shortcut things ideas.
Yeah. Well, stock is hitting support. It's it kind of ran up a few times after its IPO that was recent. Came down. Ran back up and now it's down towards the support line here. So I figured, you know, with the 10% stop, hitting support on the charts, we have about 3 weeks until earnings that there's the potential for some of this to unwind a little bit and maybe make a couple bucks on it.
We'll see.
All right.
The
theory is like solid.
Yeah.
It may not work out that way. But we picked up a little bit for clients today.
So is the blow off top.
Yeah. All right, I think that's all we have here. Until next week, you ready for the I'm going to play the jingle. You may not be able to hear it.
Oh, I've already heard it.
All right, well, here we go. Talk to you next week.
Okay, bye.
You've been listening on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to see you again. Bye bye.
Now I'm not broke but badly bent. I don't know where my crypto went, but I got a Bitcoin, my last Bitcoin, yeah. Yes, sir. In my wallet, it's been hacked. And they took all my crypto cash, but I got a Bitcoin, my last Bitcoin, yeah. Oh, what luck will I've been fucked. Wall Street's killed the price. My store of wealth ain't in good health. It don't feel real nice. I used to be a millionaire, but now it's gone. No one cares that I got a Bitcoin, my last Bitcoin, yeah.